Got a bad bitch on me.
What?
Got a bad bitch on me. She
D T F. She tell me she
D T F.
I heard she
D T F.
What?
And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.
Okay. Well, Lou, I'm on my bag.
Welcome to DTF, the Daryl Timmery Fun Hour. It is the greatest sex education comedy, sometimes game show, currently podcast in the known universe. I am your resident sexuality educator, Dr. Timmery.
And I am comedian and tired human being, Daryl Charles.
Yay.
Yay!
We did it. We made it this far. We did the intro. We explained who we are. We said what the show is. Congrats to us.
We made it this far. And that's what we should always celebrate.
Yeah. Little victories.
It's like Morpheus in The Matrix Reloaded. Everything turned out perfectly and exactly as it should have. How do you know that? Because we're alive.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's a valid point. That is a
you
valid
made
point.
It.
I rewatched the second Matrix movie recently with some people, and was
that's that one?
Oh, is that the second one? I can never.
Is after
the
they talk with the Merovingian and they're in the elevator, and then fucking Neo was like, "That's useless," and then Morpheus like, "Nah, it's perfect."
Okay.
Before the lady, fucking Monica Bellucci.
Yeah.
Before she opens up the elevator and helps him.
Yeah, the thing
I've
about
that movie too many times.
That movie is I've only seen it like twice. I saw it when it came out, and then again like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and
wow.
I wildly misremembered how much that movie is just like, it's kind of like the Star Wars prequels where it's a lot of like Congress, and there's yeah. not really like fighting, and I forgot how much of it is just like them plotting war, you know, in Zion. I misremembered that movie to be like Monica Bellucci shows up early on because that was very important to me. And then there were like the weird albino twins and the scene on the freeway. I just like that, those, that and like the rave scene were really the only things that I remembered about it because that's what stood out.
Sure.
And I was just like, I have some things in common with the Chowskis.
Yeah, I mean, those were the things. And yeah, I guess it was a lot of the third one, Matrix Revolutions, is probably the one that I've seen the least. I was in the prime demographic and it worked. I was deep in the Matrix.
I recall nothing.
I changed my Windows 95 theme to be all Matrix related. Including making my own waves into sound effects for clicks and opening of window. I was in it, baby.
Wow.
And then, when the sequels were announced, I was in it. And then pretty sure I saw Revolutions. I know I saw it at the Nest, or I don't know what the hell it's called now, that theater on 40th and Chestnut. Saw it the week of. So I went with two friends of mine. One is a very good friend, we're still cool to this day, and the other was our roommate. And we went to the sandwich shop that's right next to the theater. I think it's like Slack's Hoagie Shop or something like that. And he went in there because he wanted to eat, and we were like, the theater serves food. He was like, nah, I want to eat. He was like, whatever. And so he went in there, and he was like, I want a sandwich, and I don't want mayonnaise on it. He was like, listen to me. I swear to God, if this ain't mayonnaise on my sandwich, I'm going to fucking kill you. And like, we were sitting there like, why is he so weird about that? And the dude was like, yep, I got it. He was like, you sound like you don't got it when I said I don't want mayonnaise. And the dude was like, fine, no mayonnaise. Got it. And when I tell you, it's like he put mayonnaise on for every time that man said, don't put mayonnaise on my sandwich. That sandwich was dripping with mayonnaise. And our friend was so upset that he gave us the sandwich. And it was delicious.
Wow. Okay. That's your recollection of the film.
That's right. That was my favorite part of The Matrix Revolutions.
Wow. What a testament to that film.
Yeah, I mean, that one was like far too much of a war movie. And it was like a lot of. I mean, the special effects were nice and everything. But, you know, I don't know what I was looking for as far as resolutions. I was a young man in my early 20s at the time, so I probably was looking for a purpose. I was looking for the final piece of my personality in that movie. But yeah, I just was like, well, I guess, yeah, Jesus has to die at the end. That's the way that these,
spoiler alert,
that's the way that these things work. And you know, but they gave plenty of justification for why he had to die. And I can't wait for the next one. But I'm not going to change my theme on my laptop. That he I says refuse now. To do.
He says now. Everybody note the time and date that you
I might change something on my phone. But I will not change something on my laptop for this
movie. Well, this resistance to change is a fantastic segue to our first regular segment, which is the fucking news. So our first piece of fucking news has to do with, because we feel like contractually obligated to discuss this on the show. Yeah. We have to talk about the reason that I am currently watching season 3 of You through a Plex server instead of streaming it on Netflix. Daryl, do you want to tell the nice people
well
what we're talking about?
Okay. I don't know if as a fan of this podcast you've been to the show. I don't know if as a fan of the show you know that we tend to mix sex and comedy a lot. You might even have guessed that from the name of the show. But a lot of comedians mix sex and gender and comedy in ways that make everybody happy. Dave Chappelle didn't do that. And he gave it a shot. And I'm sure a lot of people were very happy. I felt there's probably a few people who felt validated. I think their names are J.K. Rowling. But there is a large group of people who continue to ask me what I think. And and so, you know, the small business owner I am, I've decided to use one of the methods I use to speak to the public to say it once and never again. I'm never talking about it after this. But yeah, so
this is it. Anybody asks you, you just send them the URL to this.
Boom. Hey,
episode.
What you think about that Chappelle thing? DTF, the Daryl and Timmy Fun Hour. You know, Dave Chappelle did his last special, The Closer, his most recent special. He said it's going to be his last one for a while. He said it's going to be his last one that he ever brings up trans people again. And then he spent 45 minutes telling everybody that he didn't care what trans people thought about him. Which, you know, you typically don't do that if you really don't care. People who don't care don't talk about it for 45 minutes. Usually.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, there's a lot of hubbub and a lot of wonderful thought pieces about some of the perceived shortcomings in his comedic set when it comes to gender identities and the trans community.
I would just say, like, speaking entirely for myself and as a sexuality educator, I didn't watch it directly. I'll be very clear with that. I have read transcripts and I've definitely read lots of think pieces about it, both from people who thought it was good and people who were deeply upset by it. And I think I get it. I think it's one of those things where, like, I don't have to watch the Serbian film to know what my opinion of it is. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, it's one of those kind of things. And it's not a one-to-one. Those aren't the exact same thing. But you can get a very strong sense of what a piece of media is without consuming the entirety of it.
Very true.
So, and I think that anybody who would insist that you have to watch the entire thing in order to form an opinion, then I would counter with, are you sure of your sexual orientation because you haven't sampled every other thing? Right? Like,
that?
I would just counter with, like, can't you just kind of know what you like, and can't you know, like, I get the idea.
Yeah, and it's,
you know, like,
you know, similar to Sadie Jones's piece in GQ, like, you don't owe any television program its entire viewing. It's totally okay to change your mind. One can revoke consent at any point.
Yeah.
And it's okay. Sure. If we're in the middle of a conversation, it's like, you know, if I'm in the middle of a conversation with you about a thing and we're having a heated debate about the merits of something, and then halfway through the conversation, you let me know that you've never ever thought or read or did any of the research about the topic that you are so vehemently talking about, I think it's totally okay for me to walk away from you because you're wasting my time. And as such, yeah, if someone didn't watch the whole thing, or
I would in fact argue, like, so Billy Bob Thornton, most famous for Somewhere, you probably either know him as an Oscar winner or as one of Angelina Jolie's ex-husbands. Mm-hmm. Either way, he has a form of OCD where there's a bunch of things, like he can't have metal spoons. He's afraid of, like, antique furniture. And if he listens to an album, he has to listen to the entire thing starting from the first track all the way through. So if he only wanted to hear the sixth song, he has to listen to the first five through. So I would argue again that if you think I have to consume the entirety of this media, I'd be like, that might be actually symptomatic of OCD. But anyway, the point that I wanted to get to is, like, reading from the transcripts and other people's stuff, he says things that are factually inaccurate and then says right after that, those are facts, which is a really good way for me to be like, I don't actually need to hear what you say. So, like, he completely erases not only intersex identity. He says something, like, stupid about how everybody comes through the legs of a woman, which is like, not only is that trans exclusionary, that's also, like, cesarean exclusionary.
Right.
Like,
right.
That's just not, like, literally not a fact. And he clearly doesn't understand, like, the basics of the concept of sex versus gender, and seems to be, like, intentionally obtuse about it. And he also claims to be, like, on the side of TERFs, trans exclusionary radical feminists. But he's only on the trans exclusionary part. I don't think this dude is a radical feminist either. So it's very much like a glossy, superficial understanding of the thing that he's ranting about for a very long time. And I do not get to speak about trans experience or black experience, but I have definitely read plenty of people who are like, your argument is pitting black people against trans people, ignoring the fact that the people who are most likely to experience anti-trans violence and anti-trans discrimination are black trans people.
Yeah.
So,
and we tend to commit crimes against the people we can reach, and America's very segregated. So black trans people are probably going to get violence from black people. That is Daryl being full of shit. I have no idea if that's true or not, but it just kind of follows
the
things that I have read about the
most
way
violence is intra-racial.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we are most likely to hurt people who are nearby to us. Yeah.
And yeah, accessible. I mean, there is definitely the intersectionality piece. I think that I'm not going to sit here and cape for a millionaire, but I think that there were some things he said. One, it's a comedy show, right? And not a TED Talk, and it's not.
Yeah.
Is not being told to the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He's not speaking to representatives from the Ways and Means Committee. He's a comedian.
He's not under oath.
Right,
yeah.
He's a comedian telling jokes. And he's trying to include information that he thinks is germane to punchlines, not germane to the argument that he's making or the arguments that are being made around him. From watching the special, and I watched it as a fan, I'm a fan of Dave Chappelle, probably not the, I mean, out of the Netflix specials, this one is not my favorite. Now, that's kind of where I walked away from it. Like, I watched the whole thing. I enjoyed parts of it. But anyway, for better or for worse, Dave Chappelle was trying to, in my opinion, was trying to talk about how with all of the other, with all of the civil rights movements that are happening in America and the world, that people of color are usually pushed to the back. They're the last ones to get the fruit of labor that they typically start or are a great part of or collaborate with. You know, that can be said for the mistreatment of Irish Americans. The arguments around same-sex marriage and don't ask, don't tell, and whatnot, just the civil rights of the LGBTQIA2 plus community. one, can we all just say that, like, fucking up the letters is hack now? Can we do that? Because that's kind of, okay, all right, you don't care about
it's
them
been,
so
it's been 20
yeah,
years
but like yeah. Come on, son. All right, so there's that. The main thing he was saying, and he says it, he was like, I wasn't even talking about trans people, I was using y'all as an example. Now one can sit and argue the merits of that, like, why talk about some random group of people if you really don't give a shit about them? Just keep their name out your mouth if you, one, don't care, or two, think that they don't deserve think that they don't exist, or think that they should be excluded from conversations about femininity and feminism, right? So don't use me as an example for your own shit. So I mean, that argument can be made, but I think that, you know, he's a rich person who has probably did not have somebody do any kind of in-depth research about the trans arguments throughout history, because he wasn't giving a fucking TED talk. He was just making jokes. Yeah. And while I understand people saying that, like, that kind of language can lead to violent outcomes, you know, that kind of open disparagement might make it so that the next person feels like they can be not necessarily violent, but just vocally disparaging of a person. And that onslaught of hatred is bad and has long-lasting repercussions for our society, not just the individuals who are fucking mentioned in the thing. So, you know, I think he didn't do his research, and he tried to make a joke, and then when that joke got him toasted on Twitter, roasted on Twitter, he really took that personally and felt like he had to win that argument. And he spent 45 minutes of the special doing that. And I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
If you don't think I would do that, I wouldn't do it. And you know that because you can always listen to Black Gentrifier on anywhere that is streamed, or you can buy a CD from me. Because instead of arguing about comedy you don't like, you should probably just talk about the comedy you do like.
Yeah. Support the artists who are putting out the stuff that you want to see more of in the world, because that is really, at the end of the day, why this conversation has to happen, because you vote with your dollars, and right now Netflix is like digging in its heels super hard, and everything that the CEO has said is basically like, look, this guy makes a lot of money, people like this stuff a lot, we're not going to take down this incredibly popular content that makes us lots of money.
Right.
And then the very funny thing is that he would try to point to, look, Netflix is inclusive. We have this show called, there was a phenomenal documentary called Disclosure that was all about trans representation in media. It's a phenomenal documentary. And he also points out, you know, other shows that like have queer people in it. Mm-hmm. And a Netflix employee said, look, you don't get carbon offsets for bigotry. Right. Like, it's not like if you have Sense8 on there that you get to, like, have you know, anti-trans stuff. The economics of this have been really interesting in the way that, like, the trans employees at Netflix have been rebelling. Mm-hmm. There was stories of multiple people who were fired as a consequence. One employee, a trans employee, was fired under the auspices of having busted into
suspended
a meeting they weren't invited to. Suspended.
They were suspended, okay. And then after you know, hubbub kicked up, they have been reinstated. I don't think that, okay, they weren't. I didn't see anything saying like how long the suspension was supposed to last, but that suspension lasted, gotcha, maybe 48 hours, maybe 72.
Okay. I found it interesting though, because it was a virtual meeting. Right. Like, another exec, like, sent them the link to, right, it. It's not,
and
like they
did not
busted
interrupt
a door
the meeting
down.
They, yeah, were just there and then tweeted about it.
Yeah. And then another employee who is black and currently pregnant was fired and is talking about the fact that, like, why is this the one person who was fired? That's also a question. But it was this person was organizing an upcoming walkout. So October 20th, by the time this episode goes up, this will probably have already happened. But October 20th is the day to have all these people walk out of Netflix, and also for people to not stream that day, mm-hmm, as a form of activism. So the funny thing is, like, the only people who have experienced negative consequences so far are, you know, ironically the most marginalized already. So
isn't that funny how that works?
Yeah.
Isn't that funny how that works? You know, and yeah, that's the yeah, and you know, isn't that funny how that works? And is that not also kind of what Chappelle was saying? But whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I completely understand, like, I have no experience other than being white, but I can understand the idea of coming from one kind of marginalization and seeing a different civil rights group just, like, skirt, like, just blow past you. Like,
yeah.
Because the LGBTQ rights movement is, like, the fastest one in the history of humanity. Like, there has been nothing like it in the history of civil rights movements. Right. And so I can understand being like, what the fuck? And also pointing out that it's the white folks who, you know, are the ones who are most able to take advantage of it. Like, we talk about this on the show. The reason that same-sex marriage became a thing is because an incredibly wealthy white person wanted her, you know, like, half of the estate that she shared with her wife. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's rich white people who are going to be able to fight in those battles. So,
right, it's rich people.
I get it.
And in America, rich usually has to do with being white. And there are a whole host of articles one can research. This is a long way of saying don't at me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that, yeah, I mean, you know, but again, I understand. Yeah, I mean, you know, he was trying to make some jokes. He was trying to make some points. I think he was also hurt that he had a trans friend who died and was at the very least a colleague. He said it was a friend, right? And was upset that this person died while defending him on Twitter. And, you know, I think that there was some real pain in his voice when he said that. But again, you know, it's a comedy special. He was, you know, he's trying to entertain that audience right there and then the audience on Netflix. And regardless of whether you were entertained or not, a lot of people watched it and people are still talking about it. So it worked, I guess.
So, yeah, I mean, it definitely worked for him. But again, like, to go back to your point about supporting the art you do want to see, do you have suggestions for people of, like, LGBTQ comedians who you think that people should be supporting and looking out after, like, any, either, you know, folks that you've worked with directly or, like, comedy specials that stand out in your mind right now?
Yeah, I don't know. Comedy specials that stand out in my mind right now, I don't know. But, you know, yeah, it's funny. Like, there are plenty of comedians. Look, wherever you live, right, wherever you live, there is an open mic happening tonight. Right, or yeah, a local showcase happening tonight. Go to that. If you happen to have a particular identity that you want to see on the stage, I promise you there's someone in a tri-state area who has that identity and is trying to illuminate the voices that identify with that identity in a comedic way in near you. So go do that, right? Like that you can go do that. Can I name specific people? Sure. But I feel like weird to be like, well, I know a couple of gays. Like, that's what the fuck? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I know a
couple of funny gays. I know a lot of funny people. I know funny people who are gay. I know funny people who are racist. Like, it's, you know, so don't worry about my, you know who I think you should support? Daryl Charles. Do you know, you know, if you come to shows that I'm in, if you come to shows that I produce, you will probably see a varied and inclusive bunch of folks. Because that tends to be where I can it put my influence. That tends to be the kind of shit that I do and put out and the messages that are in the comedy that I make. So, you know, that is what I would say to do.
I like it. That's a good, yeah, again, vote with your dang dollars.
With your dollars.
So now it is official. No one can ask Daryl Charles about his stance on this ever again. Unless you just want the link to this episode.
That's what you're going to get. That's what you're going to get. I know how to Bluetooth a message, too. So I'm just going to be like, put your phone next to mine.
Oh.
Boop. That's my answer.
Nice. That will be... I need to do that for, like... I need to write something up for everybody who sends me a message how to get into burlesque.
Or,
just have, like, an episode to point to.
When people ask me, like, oh, what do you like, improv or stand-up better? I go, well, you should take my Stand-Up Comedy 160 class, where I teach improv techniques for stand-up comedians.
Ooh.
Uh-huh. Sound interesting?
Yeah.
It's also fun.
Marketing. Yeah.
Sign up. Helium Comedy Academy.
I like it. All right. Well, we have belabored that point enough. We've officially done our duty to discuss it, which means we get to go to our next regular segment. Fucking idiot. Fucking brilliant. Mm-hmm. So the first...
Saying like we should probably end happy. So let's
yeah, we should start with the idiot first.
Idiot first and then brilliant from my heart.
Yeah. So we will then go to our idiot story first, and everybody just buckle in. Just buckle the fuck in. All right, so the story here is just going to infuriate me over every fact that I reveal to you. Okay, so Oklahoma, picture it. You probably haven't been there, but you don't have to get the idea. 21-year-old Brittany Pula was sentenced to 4 years in prison after a jury decided she was guilty of first-degree manslaughter. Now, that sounds like she probably killed a person. What actually happened is that she was pregnant and her 17-week fetus, which is not even to the point of viability, like it literally could not have lived outside of her body, was stillborn and she miscarried, which is what happens to, tragically, a great deal of pregnancies.
Yeah, a
like
lot
very,
of them.
Very many of them.
A lot.
End in miscarriage. And it is a thing that is wildly under discussed. And so a lot of people who experience the tragic loss of a pregnancy that they wanted often feel very mm-hmm. alone because it's not discussed. And so it feels like a tremendous personal tragedy that is not taken seriously. And this is what happened to her. She lost her pregnancy, and then instead of getting any sort of resources that would help her out, instead she's in jail. And she didn't have the $20,000 that she needed for bail. So she has been in jail since March 2020.
Which is a great time to be incarcerated in America. I don't know if you remember what March 2020 was like, but... it was the perfect time to be in a probably not well-ventilated space in close confines with a number of people. You know, really no better time in American history to be arrested for not having enough money.
Yeah. Yeah. So not only is this a testament for why we should get rid of cash bail, but, you know, of course she is, unsurprisingly, you know, First Nation. She's an Indigenous woman. Mm. And, you know, unsurprisingly, that's who would be treated this way. So it is a complicated situation, only because the medical examiner decided that because she is a drug user, that must have been the cause of the miscarriage. Yeah. But an OBGYN who testified was like, I mean, it's not good to do drugs while you're pregnant necessarily, but that's not necessarily why it happened.
Right. We can't say that that's shouldn't. What happened.
Not recommending meth while pregnant or anything, but like, it's not a one-to-one. You know, like, if a miscarriage happens because of that, it doesn't mean that one caused the other. That's correlation, causation kind of thing. And basically, this is just pointing to a bunch of larger problems, because she was like 19 years old, had no resources, and of course, the way the country deals with issues of addiction or drug use or issues of sexuality, pregnancy in general, is all punishment based. None of this is to help this person out or the child that she might have had, because there are a lot of forces that are like, you know, you're pretty much on your own in America. Fuck you. So you deserve bad things to happen to you. And then if that happens, you should still have more bad things happen to you from the government.
Yeah, we are punitive people.
It's infuriating.
Amy. It's super infuriating. Yeah. Like, you know, man, America, like, we need to stop trying to find villains and really address the villainy in our hearts. Shouldn't we? You know, that's crazy. Yeah, it just seems, I get it. Like, you know, I think this is a sad story. I don't think that Miss Poolaw wanted to have a miscarriage. I don't think that you know, but, you know, failure to plan is planning to fail, I guess. So yeah, I have no idea what the rest of her life was like. I don't want to even paint all meth users with a broad brush, but I really don't think that putting her in jail is the way to stop another person from falling into the same situation. It's like, what are we saving society from? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, sure, she, you know, if you really wanted to, and yeah, that just goes back to like, stop trying to find somebody to go kill. Like, you need to do work on yourself, not fix other people. But you know me, I sit in quiet with my eyes closed for too long, so I can deal with the way my brain works in a productive and private fashion. You know, yeah, like, nothing in this story is going to help Poolaw's life out or make Oklahomians safer. And I believe that the law doesn't even qualify miscarriages as manslaughter. So you're actually not following the law when you did this to this person.
Yeah, it's, the whole thing is actually super confusing, right? Because like not only is this contrary to medical science, but yeah, like, this pretty much is, I guess, just, we have decided that since the Texas abortion ban is being, you know, just sort of sidestepped by SCOTUS so far, that, like, we have now decided that a fetus is a full person. They can't vote or anything. We can't, like,
well, if they vote Republican, they can, you know. Hey, listen.
Yeah. I was thinking the other day, like, somebody probably said this on Twitter, was it like, okay, so if it's a person, can the pregnant person sue them for, like, unlawful occupancy?
Right. Can they charge them rent?
As a way to be like, yeah, to be like, I didn't ask for you here. I mean, obviously, abortion laws in America are insane anyway, because we don't require you to give your organs to people even after you're dead, unless you're consenting to it. But in this one case, you gotta. But yeah, this is the really, really dangerous precedent mm-hmm. of all of these personhood bills and all these like completely unscientific misunderstandings of fetal development being the basis of law, because it's incredibly easy to defend fetuses because they will never tell you shut the fuck up, actually. Right. And they will never do anything that you find sinful or lazy or
they
like
they can't be villains,
you know,
except yeah. if you you know, have plans for a future in which you have freedom and money, in which case ugh. Ooh, ain't ever fetus a villain, huh? I've never had a fetus pop up in my life and I go, great. that's I'm just speaking from me. I have never ever been around. I used to hiss at the pamper aisle in CVS. I live my life on purpose every day, and part of that purpose mm-hmm. is leaving it on the stomach. I am not trying to have no baby. My God-given right to leave it on their stomach. But you know, and that's me, and as such, I you know, I guess I should be disqualified from this conversation because I ain't trying to be one. I don't see myself as a person who would use meth. She also smoked weed, so hey, look, everybody makes mistakes. But I also am not trying to be nobody with a baby. So, yeah, but man, I mean, yo, if you're from Oklahoma and you're listening to this, can you just send us a message and just be like, how do you feel about this? Because if I lived in Oklahoma, I'd be like, what the fuck? But, you know, I don't live in Oklahoma. And I live in a nice liberal place that is rife with its own type of corruption. So
I used to live in a state that is not Oklahoma, but very similar. Mm-hmm. And I am a person who could like possibly, at least conceptually, get pregnant. And I also am a sex educator, so I feel like I can speak on this. And what I want to say to everybody in Oklahoma, these prosecutors, whoever the fuck was on this jury, like all of the people who support this decision, the absolute bonkers people in the comments section. I don't know why we went down in there, but there was a comment section on one of the articles where it's like, yeah, every woman who experiences a miscarriage should be charged. And I was like,
prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what we need? We need education yeah. around how to prevent pregnancy. Yeah. We need education and treatment for drug use so that if somebody wants to stop doing it, they have yep. help with that and they're not just like hung out to dry yep. And hoping that in jail they'll just somehow stop doing it, which we know is not
the way that
consistent
it works
plan anyway. And to, I don't know, if you care about these fetuses, you know, you love these fetuses, they're so important, their lives are so valuable, remember that Brittany Pula was at one point a fetus, you know? And this is what happens when you let a fetus come out into the world. It's a person and it makes choices, and you should support that person in making the best choices for their lives and not just setting a series of landmines right. in their path. If you love that fetus, stop setting landmines in front of it. That's all I'm yeah. saying. Like, be helpful or get the fuck out the right. way.
You know, it's just, yeah, like, you know, is the law is supposed to help people, or are we just looking for people to punish?
Yeah, that's the thing.
You know, all of these people are fucking idiots.
Yeah, whoever was on that jury, we need to have a conversation.
Yeah, man, like how
like,
could
you were
you...
on the jury and you
they like, just they went home and they had a Hungry Man dinner and they said, I feel good, but all the choices I made today, I'm going to sleep. And then they just said and went on with the rest of their life. And it's like, this person had a miscarriage, sure, okay.
And how much money is being spent on incarcerating this poor woman that could have gone towards any number of things that would have supported her, right? Like, it could have gone to this person was like 19 when this all started. Like, it could have sent her to college instead.
Yeah, and people need to learn.
Could have given her an apartment.
That's the thing I was going to say. You know? People need to learn about how pregnancies work. You know, and fetal viability be one thing, and just the process of how a set of cells becomes a fully formed human being. This kind of knowledge helps in conversations like this, and I have spent a good amount of time researching how this thing works. You know why? Because I don't want one. That's why I know how this works, because I've set up my life to avoid the outcome. I think that, you know, if you want to have a child, you should. I think if you want to have a child, you should get all the help you can to get that baby in your life. But that also comes with education and responsibility, right? Like, you should learn how this shit works so you can do it in the best way for you. I feel like everyone in this case is stupid.
Yeah. So a nice antidote to the fucking idiot is, of course, the fucking brilliant. Mm-hmm. So we will head into our final segment today. And this is fantastic news. And this has to do with the consequences of a number of studies that have found that the way that kids are being reared around, like, recreation is impacting their ideas of, like, what they can do going forward in life. And it has to do with, like, what toys you think are okay for you based on your gender. And as a result of studies that are finding that not only are girls benefited from being able to play with a wider variety of toys that, you know, encourage them to go into sciences and engineering, but also encouraging boys to play with toys that are more nurturing or domestic or expressive or creative is very strongly to their benefit. And so as a result of these kind of studies, there were two big things that happened recently. And one of them is that Lego decided to remove the gender bias from their toys. And this is phenomenal. So they started a thing in like 2012 called like Let Toys Be Toys campaign. That Lego did not start that, but that is a campaign that was started in 2012
in UK,
and they have been trying, yeah, and they've been trying to put pressure on these brands. And Lego is a Danish company, and there is more and more pressure added to these companies, and eventually Lego was like, yeah, okay, so we'll stop segregating toys by gender, and as a result of this information, we're gonna stop stereotyping the toys as being like either one gender or another. And then relatedly, but not, you know, necessarily directly as a result, these are just things happening simultaneously. California became the first state that is going to require, if you're a big store, like if you have like, I think it's over 500 employees or more across California, if you have a boys section and a girls section, you also have to have a separate gender neutral section that has like a mixture of childcare items and toys and stuff like that. And in, like, if you don't do it, you just get fines. So yeah. Like, if you're like somehow opposed to it, then you can pay money to the state or whatever. But if you have a big old store, and this doesn't even do anything for clothing, no. But it is just that you must have a gender neutral section for kids. Yeah. And that's it. That's the whole thing. It's really not that difficult, but it's just to fight this incredibly baseless idea that toys should be gendered. And it's interesting, like video games specifically, the reason that happened is because of one very large retailer. So this kind of stuff can make a big difference.
And the very large retailer was like, when Nintendo was like, hey, we got this thing. And they were like, well, is it a boy toy or a girl toy? And they were like, it's a toy. They're like, no, but who's it for? And they were like, it's for people to use. And they were like, yeah, but we will not take it unless it's either for boys or for girls. And it's hilarious to think that, like, I know people at Nintendo was like, you know, you could put multiple games in the...
Yeah.
It doesn't just do one thing. It.
And you know that you don't use your genitals on it, right? Like, so...
One day.
It's not...
One day.
Not based on that.
You hear, hey Sony, you listening? I want that PS6 to be a PS69. Hey, I want a motion sense. What my dick? Yeah, this is trash. Well, the idea of gendering toys is trash. And it's great that Lego is like, especially something like Lego. It's like, it's bricks.
Yeah. It's quite literally
it's bricks. You know, when I was young, I don't know if this happened with you, but when I was young, I had a bucket of bricks. It was a bucket that was yellow, and inside the bucket was like 500 bricks and a bunch of like long green, you know, platforms on which to build stuff. And they had some pictures of things that were built on the outside, but it was just bricks. The toys have changed. Now, you know, you can buy like a particular IP's Lego stuff, right, to build a very specific thing. But yeah, it was just bricks. But I do realize that like none of the bricks had glitter, none of the bricks were pink or clear, and I think I would have liked that as a child, instead of just primary colors. You know, also a couple of different shades of Lego person would have been nice too. But I think they do that now.
Well, it's just, it's so interesting because it's like, it's damaging to everybody. Like, right. there's some pretty clear evidence that like little girls are turned away from STEM fields, just like bit by bit by bit. It's just like one thing after another that discourages them from going into these fields and thinking that it's not for them, that it will diminish their, you know, girlness, or that people will be mean to them. And then actually girls do go into STEM fields and find that people will be mean to them, and they do not get...
And they're dicks because they feel like this is a space for them and not a space for others.
Yeah.
And I was just talking with somebody this weekend like, about that. Like,
yeah.
Anytime...
It's like a series of hurdles. Yeah,
it's damaging to everybody. It's like... I was just saying this to somebody yesterday. It's like, anytime I have to do a show for one demographic, that show is not good. Like, less good. It doesn't matter what the demographic is. It's like there's something about a mix of people that makes people behave better and just have a better time. It's not about enforcing behavior, but people are open to more when there are more different kinds of people around. And and that is the main thing. It's not like trying to push, you know, the fucking scarcity mindset. Like, if I don't have this just for me, then what else will I have? It's like, I don't know. Everything. Can't everybody have everything? Why do you think that we're going to run out of shit? Like, the only thing we're running out of is my patience and oil. That's it. Everything else we decide is around. It's totally fine.
And it's also like, you know, like, bad for boys as well. The number of boys who are scared away from doing things that they might like or that would encourage them to be like competent adults who can take care of themselves, like cooking and cleaning and just being a person, like, because they're afraid of being considered feminine. As long as the culture values masculinity more, kids are going to be dissuaded from trying feminine things. And that's true of boys, and that's also true of girls, because there's a lot of internalized misogyny among little girls and fearful of being, you know, like loaded with all of those stereotypes. Little girls will stay away from things that are coded as feminine too. So yeah, it's for everybody's betterment that we give everybody all the options, including neutral things, which are just like, it really doesn't have anything to do with your gender. If you're like an astronaut or a teacher or like, you know, that's not, those have been coded through gender and like strongly encouraged to be gendered, but they aren't inherently.
They really aren't. And we have a better world and people are allowed to do this. There was, letting kids, here's a quote from the article from NBC News, like, while engaged in unstructured play of their own design, kids explore their ideas and interests, building coping and social skills, express and work through their feelings, and develop empathy and problem-solving skills. When we limit the scope of their play by telling them what's a play and how to do it, we stunt their development. Allowing kids to explore their, you know, what they're going to do and choose to operate the way they want to is better for everybody. And I understand it might be scary. You might be sitting there saying, well, I was told to do boy things and I'm a boy and I'm a man now. And what are you saying? I should investigate my feelings. Maybe I don't want to be a man. I didn't say any of that. If that's what popped up for you, then well, enjoy yourself. There's a whole world of fun in doing self-investigation. Just because you were abused doesn't mean that that abuse needs to continue. Just because you were raised one way doesn't mean that that's the right way to do it. And I think that that's a lot of the people who naysay this shit. But it's not us, because we said this is brilliant.
I think it's also, yeah, I think there's also a lot of parents who are nervous because they know the world is still very backwards, yeah, and that the people who are most backwards are the ones who will cause you the most problems, you know. And so in an effort to protect their kids from harassment and bullying and discrimination, we'll try to get them to, you know, avoid the attention, right, of people who are backwards. And I have empathy for that concern, but also, like, you gotta lead with teaching your kid to be comfortable with who they are in their weird ass selves, whoever, yeah, that is, whether they are, like,
being afraid of the world is never going to change it. Neurodivergent.
Yeah. Just like, a person who's interested in something that's unpopular. Like, I love those weird people who will just like ride a penny farthing.
Yeah.
You know, or they just, you know, you do a weird musical instrument, you play the theremin, mm-hmm, like whatever, right? Like, good for you. You found a thing, congrats, you liked that was not popular. You pursued it on your own. Good for you. And I'm so glad that a bunch of people who were, air quotes, worried about you didn't stand in the way of you being a fucking weirdo.
True.
Most
weirdos I know are wonderful people.
Yeah.
Most of them. Not all.
Not all.
Not all.
Definitely not all. Definitely not all. But there's a lot of normcore people who are not good actors.
That's also
so
true. You know, try to be the best person you can be for you, because everybody's weird in their own way, and you just need to be comfortable with yourself. And you shouldn't have to finally get comfortable with yourself when you're 60 years old because your parents have finally died. You should be able to be comfortable with yourself at six. Yeah. You know, and studies have shown that by not enforcing a gender binary that we created, we can help kids be themselves earlier, and they tend to develop into more passionate individuals who fight for their freedoms. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't be your kid's first bully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's some surmises. That good stuff. We got it all out of our systems. So that leads us to the next question. That is, Daryl, where can I get my copy of Black Gentrifier and see more of your shows that are coming up?
You can go to darylcomedy.com. There's a calendar full of dates. Someone called it a tour, even. I said, that's cute. but I will be, you know, the world's open. So I'm out here in these streets slanging these yuck yucks. I'm also available for private endeavors. If you want to hire me to write a thing for you or tell jokes at a place for you, I can do that too. But yeah, all that information is on darylcomedy.com. My album, Black Gentrifier, is for sale. I got CDs if you're from the 90s. I got streaming if you are a young person who I secretly loathe. Yeah, just because I'm getting older, and every day I'm finding out how old I am. Man, I was in a class yesterday.
Continuously.
Most of the class didn't know Jim Carrey ever did stand-up comedy, and I was like, "Well, how do you know Jim Carrey?" And they were like, "The Grinch." And I was like, "I'm gonna go walk into the ocean. My time here as a productive member is done, and I've finally seen a world that's good without me."
Because the correct answer is in
Living Color. The correct answer is in Living Color. Or Ace Ventura, maybe. But the correct answer is Living Color. Mask. Right? Come on.
Even the mask.
But that was a cultural touchstone of 40 years ago.
No.
Okay, 30 years ago.
I was going to say. It was like, no, I watched it as a child.
it was late 80s. Either way, Timory. Dr. Timory, where can the fine folks find out about you and your endeavors? And maybe even read many of the things that you've written for the internet and the written page.
Yeah, you can find my stuff at Dr. Timory. That's DrTimArie, drtimory.com. I'm also on the social medias, so you can follow me on the Twitter and the Instagrams. The Instagram's mostly just my butt, my burlesque stuff, just like either heads up warning / you're welcome. So I've got lots of upcoming shows, including we have lots of Slut Church events if you were interested in metal music and kinky stuff and burlesque. So Slut Church is happening. Lots of live shows, including like Halloween-y things. We have a thing on Mischief Night at the 700. I am doing one of the last ever Spotlight shows. So Spotlight is a show at Taboo. It's like one performer for an hour. And I have one coming up on, I don't know when this episode's going up, but it'll be on the 22nd. That'll be my last Spotlight ever. We also have Do Both, Get You a Babe, We Could Do Both, coming back. It will be live in person as part of First Fridays in December at the National Liberty Museum. And then it will be at Frankie Bradley's in January. So we've got like a bunch of stuff, and you can find out about my articles that I write for Philly Weekly. I've got an upcoming article in Self magazine and all that stuff at drtimory.com.
Yeah. Cool.
So we did it. Yeah. So thank you to our editor and our producer, Flirt Vonnegut.
And thank you to you for having listened to this and continuing to subscribe and like things. You know, share DTF with the people you know who you think would hate this, or even the people who you think would like it, even maybe. It'd be great if you could, like us on whatever device you use to get this and, get the word out.
Yeah, we are on all of the platforms for the podcasting, so you can let your friends and enemies know. Yeah, thank you for supporting this weird endeavor that's been around for 8.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be back with live shows soon.
Soon.
We don't have a date for you, but you'll be the first to know. So thank you for listening, everybody.
Bye-bye.
What? And you ain't hanging with the team if you ain't down to fuck.